This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. The Old Trailblazer riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's get up. Let's get a getting. We've got to get out there and give out God's message wherever we can find two or three folks standing around. Hear the Old Trailblazer. And many of you folks have heard us now over the years, and some of you not long, down in Houston, Mississippi, and other places. Maybe you hadn't heard us very often, but we're bringing you a few studies, have been now, on demon possession and all of those related subjects, many of them there. Satan and his kingdom, the reality of demon, the grand aim of Satan, baptism with the Holy Spirit, baptism with a demon spirit. But at this time, we're looking at demon holidays. Oh, how much of that is going on at this time? It's just marvelous. We were looking in our last study or two at Christmas, how it came to be celebrated as Christ's birthday. None of it is scriptural. No, my friend, no. But we saw that, and we're going to look at how these things, what takes place during these festivals, celebrating these things. Birthday of the Queen's Son. Gifts were carried to and fro back there in old Babylon. Banquets were given with all the frivolity and uproar and drunkenness. During that time, men of God strove to stem the tide. But in spite of all their efforts, the apostasy went on until the church, with the exception of a small remnant, was submerged under pagan superstition. Christmas was a pagan festival and still a pagan festival. I mentioned to you in a study before, we have two booklets by Pastor L.R. Shelton on Christmas, a demon holiday, and we take in excerpts from those, but I'd be glad to send them to you that you could have to read and study if you'd like. Just write me. My mailing address is the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. We'll be glad to send them to you, free and postpaid on the Christmas or demon holiday. We're just bringing you, touching the hem of the garment, so to speak, here. Christmas was a pagan festival, still is a pagan festival. The very name by which Christmas is popularly known among us today is Yule Day, which proves that it's pagan and came from old Babylon. The word Yule is the Chaldean name for infant or little child. Do you know what they call this week of festivity in Babylon back in those days? Do you ever thought about that? They call it the Drunken Festival or a Day of Misrule. And I've often been questioned about these things that I'm bringing you. And so I asked you if you have a World Book Encyclopedia or Encyclopedia Britannica, our good cyclopedia, you go there and look up the word Christmas and Easter. Look those things up and see what it tells you. It tells you that it's a pagan holiday. Do you believe those old writers and those old learned men don't know what they're talking about? You just go there and it won't be all of the put on. It's on this today. People deny. But you go there and look in your Encyclopedia Britannica, your World Book Encyclopedia, and look up Christmas, look up Easter, look up Halloween, all of those things, you'll see that it originated in old Babylon, and it's a Babylonish holiday, and they call it the Drunken Festival. The week of that Christmas, they call it the Drunken Festival, and that's what it is now. That's the exact words they use, a drunken festival. They met together to celebrate the birth of the Queen's Son, which was the worship of the sun god. Now, where do you stand, my friend? Are you a worshiper of Christ or a worshiper of the sun god? That's what was called in Babylon, and that's what exactly we have today. Christmas week is nothing but a week of revelry and drunkenness. God wants his people to have nothing to do with it. He tells us there in Revelation 18:4, Revelation 18:4, come ye out from her, my people. Furthermore, Look there, the candles and Christmas trees and giving of gifts and mistletoe all came out of old Babylon. Now, let's look here. We have a gracious book here in the bookstore entitled The Two Babylons or Papal Worship. Papal Worship by Alexander Hislop. You write me or call me. I'll quote you a price on it. And I wish it was in the hands of every one of you who hear the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Do you see, my friend, how our churches, our religious system today have rapidly became pagan because they're taken up with Christmas, lock, stock, and barrel? I'm glad the Lord opened my eyes to see this pagan worship. Oh, but my friend, I want my people. I want you people, what we call radio mission people, to be a separated people. Now, we ask the question, should God's child, born-again believers, celebrate Christmas? Let me just ask it like this. I believe a little sarcasm is always good, don't you? Let me put it like this. Should born-again believers celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus with millions who make no profession of faith in the blood of the Lamb and who despise and reject Him? Should born-again believers celebrate Christmas with millions who claim to be Christians yet deny Him in works and testimony? Is it fitting that born-again believers should unite with the enemies of Christ in a worldly round of fleshly gratification, singing those so-called Christmas songs in every honky-tonk, every brothel, every hellhole in America? Oh, my friend, listen, should we join those who cast our Lord out in drunkenness and revelry in the celebration of the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is found there in Exodus 23:2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Oh, my friend, the old trailblazer, kind of like Joshua. He said, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's it. That's what we're going to do. We don't celebrate it. No, I don't get mad with you if that's what you want to do. I don't get mad with you. We don't send out Christmas cards. We don't do those things. But listen, and then every now and then we hear from somebody, especially mothers, conscientious mothers. They say, don't you think we ought to give the children a good time? They don't understand. Let me ask you this question. Is it necessary to drag the holy name of our blessed Lord down to the low level of fleshly gratification and drunkenness to show the kid is a good time? No, I don't think so. No, I think we ought to teach the children the truth about Christmas. God's word says to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why should we dishonor the name of Christ in such a manner under the pretense of showing the children a good time? There's 64 more days in the year during which we can give gifts to our children. My friend, we don't have to be, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. We don't have to join a multitude to do evil. We don't have to do those things. And I found over the last few years in my own thinking, a lot of folks have come out, especially because of the financial responsibilities and financial things that happen during those times, because people expect gifts and all of that. We're going to look at that. There's another phase of it, another angle, and that is giving of gifts. In exchanging gifts year after year, we don't bring gifts to the Lord. No, we don't bring gifts to Christ. Every year, folks keep a list of who sent them something, what they sent, and it comes an expensive affair. I'm telling you, my friend, it gets to be expensive. I see what goes on. I see how that folks take those credit cards and head to the mall on those days. And I do. I see folks come back home with a load of toys and gifts and expensive things, but all in the name of Christmas. But listen, there's a burden laid upon their shoulders, which they find hard to bear. Those burdens come in January and February when those credit cards begin to sail home, don't they? Oh, I tell you, my friend, listen, I'm trying. I mentioned a night or two ago in one of the services here that I believe I could give a lot of good advice about those things. And I had a fellow wrote me and said, Pastor, why don't you just give us a little seminar on how a Christian ought to spend his money? And I think I'll do that one of these days. But I do tell you this, if you can't handle your credit card, cut them up. Cut them up. I know years and years and years ago when I was young, my wife and I were young, and Pastor Shelton came and he knew we was having financial trouble, and he just had us to sit down on the couch and said, let me give you some advice. He said, you stop buying. We didn't have a credit card, but we had credit. He said, stop it. He said, I mean, stop it right now. And we looked up to him, and we did. We stopped it. He said, don't buy anything that you don't have to have till you get out of this credit crunch. And that's what we did. We was having trouble. I'm telling you, we was robbing Peter to pay Paul, and he knew it. And he said, stop it. And that's what I tell you. And I've had folks come to me and hand me their credit card and say, cut these up. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them. And I've given them good, sound advice to don't buy anything you don't need. And I'll tell you that today. You don't need that. We have folks now have fine homes. They get rid of that and get a bigger one. They have two cars in the carport, and they get two more, and they get a big boat, and they get a house on the lake, and all that. That's why we're having this economic crunch right now with this subprime mortgage. People buy a house, it's a note on it is $2,000 a month, and they can't afford but one. My goodness alive, folks. What is that? That's nothing but foolishness. Or maybe stupidity. Stupidity. You know, when I was coming up and first got married and tried to buy a house, they wouldn't loan you anything unless you could pay it back. We often say here that banks work on cinches and hunches, and they never do have a hunch, you know. They always work on cinches. That means that you can pay back more than you owe. But that's a good philosophy. I don't blame it. There's no more conservative person in America than the old trailblazer. I just don't believe in spending money that you don't have. Let's put it like that. And that's what happened to all these subprime mortgages. Those people wanted this big house on the lake, a big house in the subdivision, and they couldn't afford to buy it, and the lenders loaned them the money. Now they want us to bail them out. Now they want the federal government to bail them out, keep them losing their home. No, I don't think we ought to do that. I think the lender ought to have to eat that house, and the buyer go buy them a smaller house somewhere else. That's what I think they ought to do. Well, you say it ruined their credit. Well, if it ruined it, they ruined it themselves. I didn't do it. I ought not have had to pay for it. But that's getting off of our subject, I know. But a lot of that is involved in this spirit of giving. Oh, my friend. Last year, you know, they gave us so boys. They gave us this. They gave us that. We got to get them something this year. I'm telling you, folks, listen. They keep that list. And you say, if I don't send gifts, my friends will think hard of me. Well, let them think hard of me. Well, they'll call me stingy. Well, let them call me stingy. But I tell you what I do. I just let them know. I'd write them an email, a fax machine or something, and let them know I'm through. No longer am I going to celebrate Christmas. And they won't be surprised. But my friend, it's a terrible thing. It's a trick of Satan. You talk about demon holidays. If Satan can keep your nose bound down to the wire, one of the things is you'll rob God at that time. You won't send God's money in to your church treasure, wherever you go to church. And I know from firsthand how it happens. And my friend, my heart goes out to those folks, especially our young folks that come up and think they got a world by the tail. Mom and Papa have been supporting them all their lives, and now they got to have the best of everything. They don't know what it is to work for a living and make the money, and then skimp and buy two-for-one items and all of those things like I have had to do for all those years. But my friend, I'm trying to be kind to you. I wish I could. Demon possession, my friend, is a terrible thing. Ask the Lord to clear up your mind and clear up your heart and give you grace to, first of all, cut up them credit cards. Stay away from those stores in that time of the year. And I'm telling you, my friend, you call me one day and I'll be glad to talk with you about it, tell you some of the experiences that happened, and it's just a demon holiday. It's plain and clear to me. It's a demon holiday. I have no qualms about calling it a demon holiday because it's demon-inspired. Oh, it's got the jingle bell, and all of that stuff. But, my friend, it comes out of your pocket, don't it? I wish I could sit down by your side and drink a cup of coffee with you. And don't be mad with me. Don't fuss at me. And write me. Let me know if you're listening. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, may God bless you. Look at our website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye and God bless you.